When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, Big Z here. It is draft month. That's right, it's April. April 28th is when the draft is. Today is April 7th as we record this. You'll be hearing this on April 8th. Regardless, there is a lot to talk about. The Lions at that number 7 spot make it really interesting. A lot of possibilities there. So what we're going to do on this podcast is we're going to do a mock draft of the first 7 picks of the NFL draft, because that's going to kind of give us a picture of what the Lions have available, what we think they have available. And then we're going to pick who we think we're going to be taking in the second round as well. So a way too early 2-round mock draft. Let's get to it. Grab your Kool-Aid. Sit back and relax. It's time for the pod. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back. And it is April, and that means, of course, the NFL draft is right around the corner. As we record this, it is exactly 3 weeks away, so we have a lot to talk about here. But before we get into everything we're going to be talking about, let's go around and introduce most of the Blue Kool-Aid crew, missing one, but we got Bob.
Hello.
Red Dog.
Yo.
And UJ.
Hey, Lions fans.
And I'm Big Z. So what we're going to be doing on this podcast is going over the first 2 rounds of the draft for the Lions, pretty much just talking about what we think is going to happen at the top of the draft and who we think we're going to be taking 7th overall. If it will be 7th overall, maybe one of us projects a trade. I don't know. And then we'll be talking about who we might target with that 2nd pick. So this is like an early 2-round mock draft, if you will, but just focusing on the Lions specifically. And then going forward from this, we will be having more additional discussions about some maybe late-round prospects on both sides of the ball. So, gentlemen.
Hey, Z, can I just say something real quick?
Yeah, interrupt me. Go ahead.
Our last podcast, we had Michael Rothstein from ESPN on, which was awesome. But
that's right.
He immediately resigned that post after talking to us.
I know.
He's in Atlanta. So I don't know what we did. We drove him out off the beat.
It is unbelievable timing. I think we were the last one to interview him before he changed teams. Right. So, I mean, that definitely means something, I think. That is wild.
Yeah, that was crazy timing. But it was cool talking to him. He's very knowledgeable.
Because we were growing him a little bit for not, like, being a fan necessarily, amongst some other things, and not being a true Kool-Aid drinker. So maybe that upset him a little too much.
Now we're
not
going to handle the Kool-Aid.
The Hawaiian Punch podcast is not going to land now.
No
chance.
No way.
How could it? Was made by a non-Kool-Aid drinker idea. I mean, come on.
That's true. That's a fair point. So let's now move on to focusing on the main topic of this episode, and that is the first 2 rounds of the NFL draft. But let's start here with the first round. I mean, but before we even get to the Lions, I kind of want to walk through what has gone on in front of the Lions this year. And it's kind of been crazy how much activity has happened a month out from the draft, pretty much. It's pretty wild. These teams have not waited until draft day, or a couple, maybe even a couple days before the draft, to see how everything was going to shake out. So you have the Jaguars picking first overall. And before we move on to the rest,
we all think they're taking Trevor Lawrence, right? There's no way.
There's no way.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
If not, we should find a way to trade up to number two. That dude is too good.
I think that's a pretty much foregone conclusion. So now at number two is the New York Jets. And there was some speculation maybe they might not take a quarterback just because they still had Sam Darnold. He's 25 years old only. The Carolina Panthers trade for him, two fourths and a second round pick. What do we think of that trade? Is that a good trade?
Good for the Jets.
Yeah, good for the Jets. I don't know about for the Panthers. I mean, if he works out, then obviously, but I don't think it's going to work.
Well, first of all, Darnold, I don't think he's as bad as everyone says he is. I think he's a pretty gifted quarterback, and I think he's got a chance to do well in this league. So, Carolina's taking a chance on having a guy that can step in right away. So.
Sam Darnold,
his only play is going to be a drop off to Christian McCaffrey every play. That's not a bad play.
What were you saying, Zay?
I was going to say, Sam Darnold was working behind what a lot of people thought was the worst offensive coordinator in the entire NFL, and Adam Gase. So I think that has something to maybe. The team is terrible. Yes, and he was constantly reprimanded by every type of analytic person out there. He kind of went, and a lot of coaches around the league, I don't think, respected him either. So if I was telling Bears fans, like, I would be more concerned if Sam Darnold went to the Bears than like them signing Andy Dalton, you know?
Yeah. I was surprised they didn't make a push for him, because it wasn't that steep of a price, you know, compared to what they were offering for Cam Newton or whatever.
So you guys think the Panthers did good then? Russell Wilson. So you think the Panthers got a good trade then?
I think just for how young he is, I think there is a lot of upside there for them.
Yeah. So, I'm not a big fan of him, but he's got upside. A lot of people like him. But
yeah,
he's not like a quarterback.
It's not like the Panthers are going to have a chance at the top of the draft for one of these guys anyway. So that
trade also affects us a little bit, because they're right behind us in the draft. And that might take them out of the running to trading up one spot for a quarterback with us.
Yeah. And the Panthers did go after Stafford, right? So they did. They've been looking for a quarterback. So
They were on the market. They're the top contender for Deshaun Watson before all his the lawsuits started coming. Then they pulled out of that. So that's how it affects the Lions too, that trade as well. In addition to the fact that at number two, I think the consensus is that Zach Wilson will be going there. So he will not be coming to the Lions, I don't think, UJ. Yeah.
A little bummed about that.
I'm perfectly fine with it. It'd be really fun to see him in a Lions uniform.
Absolutely. But it would be like Stafford 2.0 almost. He reminds me of Stafford a little bit as far as his arm, and maybe not quite Stafford-esque, but it's pretty damn good arm, but a little more athleticism. So it kind of reminds me of him.
A lot of people are comparing him to Aaron Rodgers, actually, with his ability to kind of throw off, like,
on the run.
I'm just telling you.
Yeah, UJ's a person, too. He's not bad.
So at number three, the Sam... So this is crazy.
That's where it gets interesting.
San Francisco 49ers trade up. They pretty much give up two first-round picks, technically three because they swapped this year's first-rounders as well. Three first-round picks and I believe a third-rounder to move up to number three from the 12th spot. And all signs are pointing to them taking a quarterback. Who that quarterback is, nobody's quite sure, but a lot of signs are saying Mac Jones, which is pretty crazy.
I've heard that.
Yeah. A lot, Daniel Jeremiah, all these like insiders that are very familiar with scouts have Mac Jones in their mock draft going number three, because that's what they're hearing from around the league, is that Mac Jones is who the 49ers are targeting number three, which is kind of crazy considering a lot of people
that could be like, Trey Lance
quarterback.
Good for us if it's Mac Jones, because that leaves Justin Fields and Trey Lance still floating for the next two picks or three picks in front of us. So,
Yeah, and what do we think about the, like, how much the 49ers got for that number three pick? I think Bobby mentioned it in our
text like
group.
Last year we had the three pick, but it didn't have the value it does this year. I know everyone's like, why didn't they trade back? But I don't think the trades were there. Because, I mean, there's such a good quarterback class this year.
They weren't.
We picked a cornerback at number three. That tells you all you need to know.
Yeah.
That's like,
there was even the guys we wanted, other people we could have taken, there was no like superstars out there.
Yeah, that's just unfortunate for the Lions.
Yeah.
And they would have been in that spot if, like, say, you know, if Todd Gurley doesn't fall into the end zone on the 1 yard line. Or Mitch Trubisky doesn't. Or Romeo Aquara doesn't cause that fumble against Mitch Trubisky against the Bears. The Lions would be up at that number three spot. So,
well, or if Swift hangs onto the ball early, we would be even further back. So, you know, you can play that game.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
I'm just saying, it's crazy how much luck is involved and stuff with the draft.
Absolutely. So, who do you have in Pick'em, Z?
I'm going to go with the people that know people and say Mac Jones as well. That's who I think is going to be number two.
I don't think so.
Who do you think, UJ?
I think Justin Fields.
Yeah, all these teams like to throw smoke screens out there, but this
I think a lot of that is smoke screens. Justin Fields is got too much upside. I know he's had some inconsistencies in college, and that's the thing that keeps me from liking him so much, but he's got a lot of upside with his speed and his arm. I don't see how they pass on Justin Fields first.
I mean, I feel like I agree as far as my personal assessment, but And there's smokescreen, and then there's been rumors. And I feel like in recent years, rumors in the top of the draft have been incredibly accurate. Like, I don't know how it is, but the grapevine is very leaky in the NFL, I feel like. So I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up being Mac Jones. And I think that's great for us. That pushes another quarterback.
That would be great for us. Yeah. Actually.
I mean, first of all these quarterbacks going high is making these elite players fall down to us at seven potentially, which is another, which we
can
get to.
The CBS mock has Trey Lance in that slot. Well, how would you feel about that for the Lions' sake?
That's good, too, I think.
Mac Jones would be better just because I don't think anyone else was calling him in the top five.
Trey Lance is a big unknown. I mean, he's super talented, but he's got such a small,
extremely small. Only played one game this year. Not his fault. Just he played one game.
I'm sure his upside is incredible, but with Mac Jones, I mean, he played for Alabama and Justin Fields or Ohio State. These guys have a lot of film on him and played against big competition, so I think they're going to go before he does.
So you have them taking Trey Lance at number three, UJ?
No. I haven't taken Justin Fields.
Oh, Justin Fields, that's right. And Bob, who do you have them taking number three?
Probably, I don't know. This week, I'm going to say it's Mac Jones. You know, could change before my final picks, but
fair enough. So number four is the Atlanta Falcons, a team that has Matt Ryan at quarterback. His salary cap hit next year is $45 million, so he's not going anywhere the next 2 years. So you have to take that into account as well. Do they take a quarterback, or are they going to take a player? I think they're going to take Kyle Pitts here. That's my opinion.
He's too good.
But Kyle Pitts is so good.
I kind of see that too, actually. So
I think he's. Well, they say he's the best. Everything I'm seeing, most people are saying he's the best, second best player in the entire draft after Trevor Lawrence. And I mean, that guy is a walking mismatch with his height.
He seems like a Calvin Johnson like type special athlete,
like on steroids.
Yeah, longer arms than Calvin Johnson had. Same height, didn't jump quite as high. A little slower, but. He's not a receiver. He's a tight end. I mean, that's a freak.
Yeah, he's a tight end, but who can cover him? You can line him up outside like a wideout. I mean, he can run a 4-4 if he can outrun most cornerbacks. You can do anything with that guy. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's crazy. So did anybody not have Kyle Pitts going here at four?
I wanted to be someone else, but no.
Yeah, I had Kyle Pitts going.
All right. So, consensus number four.
We actually agree on that one.
I know. It's crazy. All right. So, number five is the Bengals. And then the Bengals, another interesting team that needs, like, offensive linemen. A lot of people mocking them. I actually had Jamar Chase going here to them at number five. So
I think if this pick's going to be, four and five are going to be a flip-flop. Whoever takes one is going to take the other. If the Falcons take, like, Sewell, then the Burrow, they'll still get Burrow Pitts, but I think they'll take Sewell here. I think they're going to give Burrow a blindside protector.
Interesting. And I mean, right now their left tackle is Jonah Williams, who they drafted a year ago, two years ago. So that'd be interesting to see what they would do from that perspective, is if they take their first rounder from 2 years ago and put him to right tackle and then put Penei Sewell.
You can't go wrong with top-notch O-linemen, though. I mean, when you got a young quarterback, it's just, you can't go wrong there.
Right.
They can put him.
And the thing with Penei Sewell is he won't be 21 till October. This guy is super young. but also a guy with very limited tape. Then also opted out last year. Only 2 years at the college level he played, freshman and sophomore, all-American level. So, I mean, the guy's obviously a special athlete. Yeah, but I, Jamar Chase, Jack, or Rudd Dog has Penei Sewell. UJ, who do you have?
I'm going to say Devonta Smith, Alabama. I give, give Joe Burrow a weapon. Give him a weapon, man.
You're high on him, huh?
I love the guy.
I mean, how can you not?
I'd be happy to get this guy. I really would. I think he's just a tremendous player.
He's
so fluid. I mean, he makes people look silly out there, and it looks like he's not even trying. The guy's just really, really good. So, I mean, I wouldn't mind him fall to us, but I think the Bengals are going to take him.
And Bob, who you got?
I have Jamar Chase. I have Jamar Chase going there too.
So you guys both have Jamar.
Yep. So we both have Jamar Chase.
Oh yeah, the guy is ridiculously good, man. He's an obvious to me. He's the obvious number one receiver off the board.
I would agree with that too. And just because also what he offers over Devonta Smith, I think, is like point of catch type balls. And I think what Smith is good at is, I mean, he runs and his ability to get open obviously is really good. But I think that tightens a little bit in the NFL compared to what Chase offers. Like, he can make a catch that otherwise maybe Smith couldn't. I think that's what separates those two.
I don't know. Smith was a pretty good jump baller, but he didn't have to do it too often.
So let's move on to number six now. So the Eagles were in front of us. Then the Dolphins make that trade with San Francisco and trade up in front of us to number six. So crazy jumping around. Again, this is a month out and we already know that. Like, you would expect this to happen on draft day. All these trades have happened a month out. Pretty crazy.
It is crazy.
So regardless, so you have the Dolphins here at number six. I think they're going to be taking a wide receiver here too. And I actually think that's going to be Jalen Waddle. That's who I think they like a lot.
Wow.
That's who I had. Devontae Smith.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I had Jalen Waddle too, because they got to give Tua some weapons if he's going to develop, and they've got plenty of capital. And I think they're going to go with the receiver there.
I have Jamar Chase going there.
And I have Jamar Chase going there also. There's a lot of talk, too, that the Dolphins were thinking about quarterback because they're not sold on Tua. Now, that would be really interesting if they took a quarterback here. But I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to take the receiver.
Interesting. So you guys think Jamar Chase falls to six? I think the Dolphins move up to six, knowing like they had these three receivers in a certain order. They know they're going to grab one of them. That's why they move up to six.
So how much is the difference, Bob and Z, Devonta Smith and Jamar Chase? You think Devonta Smith or Jamar Chase is that much better than Devonta Smith? That much? I mean, measurably better.
I mean, he's got the size, the NFL size. I mean, I think they're both going to be. Really
he's just got that build. He's more filled out than Chase.
He's a little heavier. Yeah. They're about the same height, right?
30 pounds heavier.
Devonta Smith is an inch taller, I think, or inch or two taller. He's like 6'1".
Yeah, he's 6'1". I just don't see what the difference is. I mean, is it just body, the build?
I think you have to take into account blocking here, too, as well. Jamar Chase is a significantly better blocker than Devonta Smith as well.
I mean, I'll give you that one. That one, that's probably one play. That's the one thing I'd agree that he outshines Devonta Smith completely, because of his frame. But I mean, did he ever have a 215-yard game in one half? I don't know. I'm just saying, how can you ignore what he's put on film?
LSU also had Justin Jefferson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, other first-round picks on that offense. So they had multiple weapons.
Yeah,
it's a good dude, not just Jamar Chase, and he still led the team in touchdowns on that vaunted offense. So,
so what?
You have to take that into account too. I'm always a little skeptical of the opt-out people, though. That's the only thing that I don't like. But there's a lot of those this year. So, The Lions took a guy that didn't play the year before they drafted him, and Mike Williams. That turned out really well for us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, boy.
He was great.
All right, so let's go on now to number 7, and that is the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, baby.
We're on the board. First of all, does anybody think that we trade back at this point before?
I would like to. I don't know if it's going to be there. I mean, I wouldn't trade back far, but if they could trade back a few slots and get another player, I think there's enough talent in this area where they could go back a few slots and still get a great player.
Like, there's like 3 or 4 linebackers that if we could trade back like 5 spots, that would be more appropriate there.
So the possible trade partners I have, at least, are the Broncos at number 9. I think they are an obvious trade-up partner. And then the Patriots at number 15 overall.
Why do you think they want to trade up for us, Z?
Which one, the Broncos or the Patriots, or both?
Both. Why? What's going to be there that you think is going to entice them?
Well, at least if my mock draft falls, as I have said it is, then Justin Fields is available here at number 7. And I actually don't think – so in my mock draft, at least, the Lions don't trade back. They take Justin Fields at number 7. That's who I think they take in this draft.
Oh,
I think he's too good of a quarterback prospect to pass up on. And let's say Jared Goff turns out great, then phenomenal. We have a humongous asset at the most important position in the sport. And they can either trade that for more assets down the line, or if Jared Goff plays great, then we could trade him for multiple assets down the line and then have Justin Fields come in on that rookie contract. So I think it's a win-win, and that's why I think the Lions would take Justin Fields here.
That's a really interesting take, Z.
It is interesting.
I must say.
I just think he's too – the upside is too high to pass on him at this number 7 spot. But that is me. Well, let's go to you, Bob. What do you have at number 7? What do you have the Lions doing? Well,
yeah, this is an interesting slot for Lions. Like you said, I would like them to trade down a few if they could, just to add more draft capital since we're in the rebuild. But there's a few guys I could see here. Like a wide receiver for sure. If Ja'Marr Chase fell, I would snap him up instantly, but I don't think he will fall that far. And, you know, I wouldn't be mad if they got Jaylen Waddle. But if he falls, which I don't know if he will either, is I would see Penei Sewell, who I have for the pick. Because if they establish that line, if we get a solid line, because we're building for the future, build the trenches, man. I know we have Decker. You know, we can move. One of them is going to have to move. I mean, well, it would be Sewell moving. But I think he could. He's a young guy. And I'd just say build the trenches. So I have Penei Sewell from Oregon.
Well, I'm going to follow up on that, Bob, because I'm in 100% agreement with you. I mean, the only thing holding us back from possibly getting him is if the Bengals took him, I think. But if the Bengals don't take him, I think he's going to fall to us. And I'm totally on board with you, exactly for the reasons you said. Build those trenches, baby. We have a chance to have an elite O-line here. I would love that pick.
Hey, UJ, just quick question on what you're saying. If like Sewell, Devonta Smith, and Ja'Marr Chase were there, who would you grab?
Sewell.
Okay. That's
no hesitation.
Yeah.
I want to build that line. I'm serious. I want to build that line.
Yeah. I understand you want to build a line, but I feel like the better value would be.
No, you know, we get enamored with shiny things. Okay. These guys who run real fast and jump real high and all that. And then you look at teams like 2 years ago when the Niners went to the Super Bowl, they went with trenches, man. They had a bunch of no-name guys running the ball and catching the ball. No one can remember any of those guys, but their lines were dominant, man. If we get dominant in the trenches, we're going to be great. So I said we build the trenches, not forget that. It's easy to go after that shiny object, you know, but I'm all for building them trenches, man. Get the best mother donors.
Rud Dog, who'd you have? What do you have here? What do you have the Lions
taking? Oh my gosh, this is a really tough spot just because there's going to be a wealth of talent available for us. So this is a tough one because we finally are in a spot where we could have our pick of the litter of defenders, and the defensive class is a bit sparse, but we do have a linebacker who meets every single physical criteria you could possibly, like, you drop in a lab in Micah Parsons. And if they do assess him and determine that his character is right and that his time off this season wasn't a detriment and whatnot, I think he's going to be the guy, an impact defender who could, you know, cover the entire field, do everything you want, whether it's rushing the pass or dropping into coverage, stopping the run. The guy's a freak of nature physically. So I'm saying, assuming that they talk to him and they feel comfortable, I think Micah Parsons is going to be the pick. But it'd be awfully tempting to go with someone like Devontae Smith, who could be an absolute weapon when you look at, you know, well, any of those top receivers. But or if Sewell's there, maybe him. But I'm going with Micah Parsons in this scenario. It's going to take their own assessment behind the scenes, which we can't see. But in any other year, you look at his physicality, like Von Miller, he's freakier measurables than Von Miller, and he went in the top five. So I really like this guy physically. We'll see what he turns out to be, but that's my pick here in this one.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, I'm still really high on Micah Parsons too, just because he's such an athletic freak, and it's hard to find those guys, obviously.
Yeah,
his coverage skills are concerning, but that's only because I don't know if it's Penn State's defense or like also they didn't believe in him as a coverage, but apparently he barely played in any coverage in college. He pretty much was like a guy that just like was like just find a hole and just explode through it. And maybe that's what the Lions want to do with
They're known for coverage linebackers.
Yeah. Right.
Oh yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Did you see that kid from Kentucky though? Cause he's really intriguing too. Ran a 4.37 at 6'4", 234. And some people are saying he might be better than Collins. I mean, then Parsons. What's his name's like Jamin. Jamin Davis. 6'4", 234, ran a 4.37 at his pro day. And he's supposed to be good in coverage and everything. Like, this dude's another freak. So I think, unfortunately, like, based on early projections, what we're seeing, like, Jamin Davis, Owusu-Kumara from Notre Dame, Michael Parsons. If we could trade back 5 to 10 spots, I think we're in like prime spot to take any one of them. But I'm going to make an assumption that the Lions talk to a guy like Michael Parsons and feel good about him. So that's why I'm going with that choice. But there's a few really good linebackers, but they'll probably all be gone by the second round. That sucks.
And then there's
we really need that.
And Rud Dog, there's Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa out of.
I just mentioned him.
Oh,
you did say.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He did.
Yeah, but none of them are like Parsons and that. Damon are like the only ones who really physically match what we were looking for in the top 10. But like, yeah, there's all the top linebackers will probably be gone by the second round, which we really need a good linebacker.
So. Right. And Bob and UJ, I just want to throw out there too. You guys both have Sewell up there as like the top tackle. Don't be surprised if Rashawn Slater out of Northwestern goes before him as well. Some scouts are higher on him than they are on Sewell.
He'll definitely be up high.
I think he's someone that they project as a possible tackle, but also like an all-pro type guard. So the Lions could always use a guard. Especially
either,
for how that position's gone through.
I think Sewell is going to be an all-pro myself. But what I like about what we're talking about for the Lions pick, if we stay at 7, you know, if we can't trade back or whatever, there's so many good players. Like if we ended up with Devonta Smith, I'd be happy with that. I think he fits Jared Goff's game. You know, that he gives somebody who can zip around, you know, and move around. When he gets the ball. So I think there's a lot of good choices here. So they can't screw it up, right?
Hey, whoa.
Don't say something so bold. That kid from USC is getting some talking up too. Elijah Vera Tucker.
Elijah Vera Tucker, yeah, the guard.
Yeah, sure, that's his name. Him. No, he's a guard tackle. He's played left tackle, too, for them.
This is a deep offensive lineman draft, so I think there's some good options in the second round as well.
Yeah. Well, same with wide receiver, and there's a lot of wide receivers going high, but I think there's going to be depth, too. So.
Yeah.
Should that be our segue to the second round? Because I have a receiver going to our second pick.
I think so. So let's go to you, Rud Dog. You seem ready to say what's on your mind. So we get
Micah Parsons. He's going to be our new weapon on defense. Our new weapon on offense is going to be Rondale Moore, baby. Speedster out of Purdue ran a 4.29 40. Absolute playmaker for Purdue. You know, people weren't 100% sure about his speed. They figured he was fast, but maybe like mid four, four, five type. Sort of like, you know, a little quicker than fast type guy, but then he blazed this 40 at his pro day and he's looking like an absolute weapon. I would love to get this guy. He could be our Tyreek Hill type. So that's my pick.
Nice.
That's a fun one. Bob, let's go to you. Who do you have in the second round here?
All right. Well, I mean, these draft boards are all over the place, you know. I mean, so you don't know where these guys are going to fall, but I actually have the guy we were just talking about, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa from Notre Dame. The guy was a All-American, you know, defensive player of the year. So the guy's legit. We're ACC defensive player of the year, but he was we need linebacker help. And I think
you picking a Notre Dame guy.
He's done it before.
I picked Julian Aguara last year for the Lions.
True.
Too,
that's so true.
You picked Aguara too.
Yeah, that's right.
You think you think he falls all the way to the seventh pick of the second round?
I hope so.
I'm hoping he will. No, he could though. The way that he shakes out, I don't.
Devontae David is like his pro comparison too. So. Not a bad comparison. Lavonte David, he did okay in the Super Bowl.
And I did look at several mocks just to see if it was feasible. And so I'm not the only one who thinks he could be in that area. So
it's interesting.
Not totally out of the realm of possibility.
And you know, other like linebackers, I think that could be there. Like the Jamin Davis, like Rud Dog mentioned, definitely a possibility. Zaven Collins, he might fall to that.
I've seen him
too.
Go as high as like 15. It's so hard to. It's all over the place.
It is crazy.
Yeah, right.
I know. That's what makes it fun, though, too. Sure. The unpredictability, for sure. Because
David
like
Collins would be a good grab.
Yeah, and have we seen his measurables yet?
He ran a 4.67 at his pro day.
Hmm.
So nothing.
Is that
lazy,
too slow for you, Rud Dog?
No, I mean he's at 2.56. I mean he's a big dude. He's 6'4", 2.56, and he was an absolute playmaker at Tulsa. What, he got the Bronco Nagurski Award? Or not Nagurski. What's the linebacker one? The Dicka Buckus Award?
Buckus Award.
He won the Buckus Award for best linebacker. I mean, dude's a stud. That's functional speed for a dude that size. That's plenty to work with. It's not elite, but that size, that's pretty good.
So let's throw this over to UJ now. Who do you have them taking in the second round?
Okay, I was really torn on this one. I was thinking about Rondell Moore also. Like Rud Dog, but I think we might address the defense here after picking an old lineman in the first round. I'm going to go with Jamin Davis, baby. Not Jamin, Jamin. He's going to come to the line and he's going to be jamming from day one. He's going to rip some heads off. He's going to be jamming with the Lions, man, and he's going to help turn his defense into an amazing defense. And we're all going to be jamming.
We're jamming with you.
Yeah, that's my pick. Like I said, he could go in the first round, but like Bob was saying, there's so many different ways this thing can go. Oh, so I say he might fall there, and we're gonna get him. So that's my pick.
He's got decent size. Is he fast? You know,
4.37 at his pro day.
Yeah. 4.37.
So
freakish.
Yeah,
that would be very great. Fast. I'd be psyched.
That sounds good.
Oh man, so I keep going back. This second round one is so tough. They can go so many directions.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I was thinking about like running back Javonte Williams out of North Carolina. I think that'd be a really fun one. If you haven't got a chance to watch him, please do. He's really fun to watch. Breaks a lot of tackles. I think he has good vision too. But I don't think that's who we're going to take. Some offensive linemen to throw out there. Wyatt Davis out of Ohio State. Sorry, Creed Humphrey out of Oklahoma. 320 and 315 both. So some big guys that we can plug in a guard. The Lions need a guard. Bo Benchwell is not coming back, UJ. And he's
– Oh, well.
He never
what about our – the big goon we got last year?
Yeah, from Kentucky, yeah.
Big
yeah.
V? Oh, Logan Stenberg.
I still got high hopes for him. High hopes.
Maybe that.
High hopes. You know what I mean.
I just think the fact that he didn't even touch the roster. Like, he never was active once all year. He
was in the weight room lifting.
Except for, like, on field goal unit a couple times over the game. He was
training and building his body for this season. They knew that ahead of time. So he didn't have time to get on the field last year because he was busy training. So this year he'll be ready. Watch. He's a bruiser. He's an animal. He's a destroyer of human people. So watch for him to be there, okay?
So who do I think we're going to take? So my dream pick and then my real pick, I guess I'm going to do here. I have two dream picks. First of all, if somehow Christian Barrymore was to fall here, I would take him.
Ooh, I would love that.
That would be nice.
I don't think he will because he's easily the top-ranked interior defensive lineman, which there are few of. The second dream one would be Elijah Moore out of Ole Miss. That guy can break a million tackles, and I would absolutely be head over heels in love with that pick if we could get him.
One run?
Yeah.
That would be impressive.
But I do think we're going to take Wyatt Davis out of Ohio State, the offensive lineman. So, name a lot of people don't know, but that is my prediction as of now.
I don't think a lot of guards go in the top of the second round usually, but that would not be bad if he's a stud.
I think you're going to see a lot of offensive linemen taken in the second round this year. There's like a lot of them are fitting into that like spot in the draft, I feel, with their rankings. That I've seen from most of these people.
Well,
that's
the
one I like the most from what I've seen.
Yeah, they're seeing how important they are.
Because, you know, that's the other thing. We're like, you never know how these things start. Like, someone picks the first guard in the first round and a run starts because everyone wants to get in on the deep pool of O linemen or, you know, how it goes. But you never know these things. It's always crazy, which is, like you said, part of the fun.
I almost picked Baron Browning, the linebacker out of Ohio State, too. But I decided against that for my prediction, but I do think that is also somebody that they might be targeting in the second round here.
What is he? Tell us a little about him. I don't really know anything about him.
I should have pulled up his numbers here. I don't have him up right now, but he's a guy that is a sure tackler, has decent, not like elite speed by any means, but just a guy that's, he's a senior at Ohio State, so he's a little on the older side in terms of like the draft prospects coming out.
It's not a very ringing endorsement for a potential second round pick. He can tackle.
He's a warm body.
I like older. When I read a scouting report that says he's a sure tackler, that's I like to see that.
Come on, Big Z, raise your expectations here. We can do tackle and be good at other things.
He's 6'3", 240. So he has the size of a linebacker. My file right now that I had on him is not loading, so I apologize. But I do know that is his size.
So, UJ, you and I have a similar board here. We got the Penei Sewell and then a linebacker.
Very similar. Wow. It scares me slightly. I like it, though.
Here, 4.56, 40-yard dash. Rudd Dog cool. And 37.5-inch vertical.
Oh, pretty good athlete. I like that.
All right.
So physically, I'm just throwing out the name as well.
But all this being said, I hope we trade down a little bit and get a few more draft picks, and our board will be totally different.
a couple of DN prospects I'd like to bring up. Jalen Phillips. He played second fiddle to that Gregory Rousseau in Miami, but he ran a 4.56 at 6'5", 260 pounds, 66 pounds. Like some people think he might actually be better, so maybe he won't be there in the second. And then Jalen Osa? Jayon, I think. Penn State, freak athlete, 6'5", like 260, ran a 4.39, same speed as – ran the same speed as Parsons at like 20 pounds heavier and an inch taller, inch or two taller. Freaky. Not the most productive, but huge upside there.
Yeah, I think he had one sack last year, which is concerning.
Like five the year before.
It's interesting. I've heard comparisons to him with Daniel Hunter in terms of a guy that didn't produce in college but can do it very successfully in the NFL. But he was a third Sean rounder, Gary. And this guy is much more athletic than Daniel Hunter is. So
got all the tools. That's got to be like a you know, the coach's like wet dream, or the ultimate like, I can turn this dude into the best with that upside.
Exactly. So we just went through two rounds of our wildly up and down mock draft, discussed a lot of possible prospects, and we'll be discussing more here as well, as we are exactly from the day of this recording, 3 weeks out from the NFL draft.
Hey, Z.
Hey, baby.
And we're going to do our final mock, which will cover everything, right. Our final picks. We'll lock it in before the draft. But can we talk about one more Lions thing that came up this week? What do you think about Jack Fox talking about kickoffs that go through the goalpost should be 1 point for the team?
I agree.
I missed that quote.
Yeah, he put it on his social media or whatever.
Oh, jeez. I think that would be one of the stupidest rules in all of sports.
You'd have to, penalize it. Like, it would have to be one of those things, if you missed it, something happens. There's a penalty, though.
No, it's just the kickoff. It's the kickoff.
Yeah.
I know, but, a potential just arbitrary point that might be tagged on every time you kick it through.
You can't defend it is the problem for me.
Can we
build pyramids of human pyramids on the field to stop it?
Well, how about we add a new rule that the run back guy can catch it when it goes through the goalpost, but if he runs it out past the 25, it doesn't count.
What if they kick it in the stands?
Well, he could get it in the stands and run out to the 25.
You could defend it. Like Calvin used to stuff the ball over the goalpost.
Yeah.
If it's right there, you could jump, put your hands up and bat it down. No.
I love it.
You know, I'm convinced now. I'm convinced.
That would be great.
Kyle Pitts' draft stock just went up even more.
Yeah, right. I want to see I'm trying to think of a small like on the Bears, something or on the Lions. Let's go with the Lions player. If Jamal Agnew was back there, we have Taylor Decker throwing Jamal Agnew up in the air to try to stop.
Like a cheerleader formation, and they're
exactly.
Here's the face and the flyer.
Exactly.
So really little guys. Jalen Waddle's draft stock just went up more too because he's so small. So it's guys that can fly.
That'd be awesome.
Oh man. We talked about how small Devonta Smith is, right? So his stock is going up too.
He's tall and super light. It's the perfect combo. So he's got 6'1", all that length, but he weighs nothing. So let's be air.
All right.
Let him have one of those mini trampolines, you know.
I think that's a good place to stop our podcast.
Probably.
So, listeners, Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. Please follow us on our social media. There, as it was leading up to the draft, please subscribe to this podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, and please leave a review. We'd really appreciate that as well. So thank you, everybody, for listening. I'm Big Z for Bob, Rud Dog, UJ. Thank you for listening. And last but not least, as always, go!
Field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.